Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with our outstanding producer, Mr. Aaron Zommers, on the board. Welcome into hour number two of the big show for this Monday, January 22nd, 2024. Now 6 past the hour of 1 o'clock. Great to be back with you after taking Friday off. Again, many thanks to Luke Mathers, along with Mr. Zommers, for filling in on Friday. Luke always does a great job of the guest host chair. Great host himself. Always great to have him here. We appreciate Luke being in with us on Friday. Tomorrow, I will be out, but you're in great hands. Trigvi Olson, the senior advisor to the Lincoln Project, like myself, a former Republican, will be here in this guest host chair. He has Joe Trippi and also Stuart Stevens as his guest tomorrow. Should be a great show, plus your calls as well. So join him tomorrow. Then I'm back with you for the rest of the week, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Also, shout out at the top of the hour here to my favorite youngest godson, Mr. Jason D. Kohler, turning 24 today. So I can always remember Jason's age because he was born in 2000, so it's the same as the year, you understand? So Jason, hope you're doing well out there in beautiful Seattle and taking a day for yourself, having a beverage. Happy regards. Love you. To my youngest godson, Jason, happy birthday. We are kicking off hour number two here as great to carry the remarks. And we appreciate Mr. Zommers watching that, bringing it to us so timely. As Vice President Kamala Harris is in Wisconsin, she is in Big Bend down there in Waukesha County, home of the Shaw, W-A-U-K. She is at the International Union of Painters and Allied Trades District Council 7. She is giving a speech marking the 51st anniversary of Roe v. Wade as she kicks off her Fight for Reproductive Freedom tour. Speech is continuing, but we're going to go to our news person, the great reporter down there, Stuart J. Waddles, who is live on the scene in Big Bend in the arena where the vice president is speaking. Stuart, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy day to join us. What's the vibe right now in the hall in Big Bend?
The vibe is everybody's paying attention to the vice president right now. I'm kind of stepping out of the room. I don't want to be interrupting and causing a big bunch of stink while she's talking, but everybody's paying attention. They've got their phones up. They're taking pictures. They're smiling. They're attentively paying attention to what the vice president is saying. And like you were saying, the big signs behind her read "Fight for Reproductive Freedoms." Mm-hmm. So that's kind of what's going on here. It was an interesting interview. You know, I don't know how many of these you've been to, but a lot of the times they have somebody local do the intro, bring them up on stage, and they had a local care, abortion care in Wisconsin specifically bringing her up. So I thought that was kind of interesting.
Okay, repeat, we're cutting out just a little bit there. I know these things where a lot of people are gathered, cell phones can be spotty, but repeat what you just said. We got bits and pieces. I think it was important if you could repeat that, please.
Yeah, well, they bring local people in just to kind of set the tone and kind of connect with the crowd. So it was a local doctor that was on stage kind of talking about abortion care in Wisconsin and kind of setting the table for the vice president to get up and start her speech. So again, a local doctor was the pregame entertainment, if you will.
And I think that's an important point for listeners is that, you know, the vice president, obviously the Biden administration, the Biden-Harris administration, I think they're really making an effort to connect with real people, and by choosing a female physician, they're trying to make this really relate, because we saw this, of course, with the election of Janet Protasiewicz last April, and reproductive care was a big issue in that election for Wisconsin State Supreme Court. I think in talking with people, Stuart, I know you talked to a lot of people before the vice president got on stage. Was this something that they were talking about and bringing up on their own when you kind of were talking with them before the vice president spoke?
I mean, this little conversation coming in was just the uniqueness of the situation. It's the location here is Big Bend, and I'm not sure if you're familiar, it's a village. We're about outside of Milwaukee, down 43 towards Beloit. And it's a village like this. It's a small town to me now. I'm wondering if that's more of a byproduct of this specific union facility, or did they come and pick this place specifically to kind of target, like you were talking about, that there's a certain demographic that they're looking to reach and connect with that message, and that may be kind of one of the reasons why we're in Big Bend today.
Sure. How many people are in the hall right now, more or less, if you had to estimate or...
You know, my sheriff's department buddy here, we were kind of trying to reckon how many folks are here. We were looking at 300-400. Nice. He said that they were capped out at 500.
Okay.
So that's what they were supposed to have. And I'd guess, again, 300-400 inside this. It's essentially a training facility. It's a huge open air. You can tell a bunch of people have been working here, like along the edges. There's coffee machines that are kind of got full of dust. And again, you can tell that there's work going on here, other right. than when they bring in a full production crew and a bunch of lights and a sound system. So... Yeah, she's just wrapping up now. I'm not sure if you can hear any of the background. She's
a little bit, yeah.
Hype music bringing her off the stage.
Nice.
She's doing the gland heading. People are taking pictures.
Nice.
Actually, she's in the crowd right now. I'm trying to peek in again.
Okay, sure. Yeah,
I
absolutely.
I can get in here without causing a disruption.
Yeah.
She's in the crowd taking pictures, being one with the folks. And you got a little girl up on somebody's shoulder that I think is going to be interacting with the vice president here soon. But yeah, people are happy. They're happy to be a part of this unique situation. And. And I'm happy to be here, part of your show. I haven't said that yet. Thanks for having me on here,
Todd. No, we appreciate you taking the time. I know these are busy times, and these live events like this, it takes a lot of work to bring it to people. So we appreciate you being with us. So, you know, it was about, what, a 20-minute speech or a slightly longer there in Big Bend. And again, Stuart J. Waddles, our news person, standing by live down there. Was the crowd made up, do you think, of your estimation for the people you spoke with or talked to? Was it primarily, you know, a friendly Democratic crowd, or was it just a mixture of community folks?
Yeah, I think this is all Democratic crowd. I'm pretty sure that they just work with the local county Democrat Party affiliates, and then they kind of bring in who they want to. So I think that's kind of the deal. I'm not sure if the general public had the opportunity to apply to be here. I think that was more of a if you're part of the part of the ground crew, I guess you get it.
Was there any talk?
But again, like I said, three or 400 people, and I'd say 70-30 women. And there were some speeches before. The senator was here. Senator Tammy Baldwin spoke. Congresswoman Gwen Moore was here, and in addition, like the local doctor, like I talked to before.
Did you overhear or talk to people in person? Was kind of, you know, politics of the day, whether it was Senator Baldwin's reelection this year, and of course Republicans still have to present a major challenger to her. Were folks talking about either that race or the presidential race, or was it more just kind of a, hey, we're really happy to have the vice president here, and isn't this cool?
Everybody was on message. From almost every word out of every speaker's mouth was on the message that the sign that stood behind him, more of reproductive rights. Mm-hmm. So there really wasn't a lot of straying from there. Congresswoman Gwen Moore actually told a personal story about her needing care, her experience, and how she went through that. And that's kind of an interesting part that people, if they want to go back and watch it, go and watch Congressman Moore's speech and what she had to say.
Wow, that's a great great nugget of information there, and wow, that's powerful, and appreciate you bringing that to us.
It's a great way to connect. I mean, for her, on her point of view, you want to connect with people, and that's how you do that. You tell your story, and we're in radio. That's kind of what we do. We tell our story, and we try to connect with people, and that's what the congresswoman did up on stage.
Any other anything that I haven't asked you yet that you think is important for our listeners across Wisconsin to know about the vice president's visit to Big Bend today?
I just think it's always interesting, just the back end of things. So there's a satellite dish sitting in a bank of snow outside of this building that I'm looking at now. It's always interesting to know about the Secret Service and what they do, and how this little village was shut down essentially for most of the day, as there's one big road going through. So everybody's got to get stopped. You got to go through the trunk. You got to go through your hood. We got to go through your car. So everybody here, all 300-500 folks in attendance and their vehicles, had to get checked. And that's always the interesting part for me, is how this impacts the local community of people. Yeah. Sure, she's here. Sure, she's got a message. But, you know, how does it affect everybody?
Right.
And that's always interesting to me.
It's always a production when you have a vice president or presidential motorcades come through Secret Service. And but I always think it's an honor for the state and the community, regardless of party, to have a sitting president or vice president visit an area. It's a big deal, and it's something you can tell your kids about.
Yeah, and just on the logistical end, from I guess the news part of part of it. It would be interesting, or at least nice, to have a little bit of time.
Right.
Dedicated for the local journalist, somebody from local TV, radio, to actually have some time to ask some questions that may be outside the realm of what they want to talk about, because that's not really our job to always talk about what you want to talk about, because we've got other questions.
Right.
So if they could add other things like to these type of visits, that would be something that I would suggest.
Absolutely. Well, Stuart, we appreciate you being there. We appreciate it bringing all this live.
Hey, everybody.
Pardon?
Mike Crute.
Oh, very good. Very. Look at that.
Hey, see Crute. He's on his way out.
Very good. I'm sure he'll have more about that on the Devil's Radio program this afternoon from 4 until 6. But for now, Stuart Waddles, we appreciate you being there. Thank you so very much for being live on the scene in Big Bend, Wisconsin. Have a great afternoon.
Hey, anytime, Stuart.
All right. Thank you so much. Stuart J. Waddles, live on the scene in Big Bend, Wisconsin, where Vice President Kamala Harris has just wrapped up her remarks. She was kicking off her Fight for Reproductive Freedoms tour, marking the 51st anniversary today of Roe v. Wade, which, of course, was overturned in the Dobbs decision by the U.S. Supreme Court last year. 844-967-2789. If you'd like to weigh in, comments on the vice president or on this 51st anniversary of Roe v. Wade, 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Also, chime in on the Civic Media app as well. Let's go to Green Bay, listening to WGBW up in Green Bay. Stephen, thanks for listening in. Stephen, what say you?
Wow, I'm still just speechless. It was a short speech, but it was powerful, and she said a lot in that speech.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe I've shared this on your show, and if I haven't, I'm about to. My wife had a miscarriage that had to be surgically removed, which is called a DNC, and she was told that she had an abortion, and it absolutely shattered her to the point where, to this day, she doesn't really want to have kids. And I know my wife isn't alone in that. And I'll be honest with you. I was sitting in my car and tears were flowing from my face because I felt every word that was coming from the vice president's mouth. The fact that the motto of the state of Wisconsin is forward, and the people that we elect into office and that we trust are going to make decisions and laws that are in the best interest for us, not only as citizens of the state, but citizens of this country.
Stephen,
and then they get that power and they don't. It's devastating.
Stephen, I can't express deeply enough how appreciative I am for being vulnerable, sharing that with our audience. Thank you so much, Stephen. Really appreciate the call. Spot on. And thinking certainly of you and your wife. Back on the other side with more phone calls. Don't go anywhere. It's the Todd Allball Show on Civic Media. Pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 20 now past the hour of 1 o'clock, Monday, January 22nd. Zomer's on the board taking your phone calls when you give us a call. 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Just taking comments, questions, thoughts on the Vice President of the United States, Kamala Harris, as she has wrapped up her remarks here in Wisconsin, Big Bend, to be specific, in Waukesha County. She was at the International Union of Painters and Allied Trades District Council 7 in Big Bend, kicking off her Fight for Reproductive Freedoms tour, marking the 51st anniversary today of Roe v. Wade. 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Certainly appreciate Stephen sharing that very personal story of his wife and himself and for what they went through. And I think Mr. Zomers, you said this during the break, those sorts of stories are sadly not the exception, where a woman has a health procedure, if she has a health condition and she's treated, and then can be shamed by people who have no concept, A, because they're men, a lot of them, most of them, but I've never gone through this. And that's just something, coincidentally, I spent a lot of time thinking about this past weekend when I paused to reflected a little bit on life. It's just a good reminder that unless you've been there, unless you've walked in someone else's shoes, don't be judgmental, be curious, as Walt Whitman said, and they repeated it on Ted Lasso.
Yeah, and it really is tragic. And if you or somebody you know has not gone through this, you probably just don't know about it because right. It's deeply personal and a terrible tragedy. Yep. And I've mentioned before on the show working as a pharmacy technician, and I remember working there after Roe v. Wade got overturned. It was just heartbreaking because we would get calls from doctors' offices or like from their nurses, and they'd be, hey, so this person who had horrible complications on a very desired pregnancy, they've been trying for years to have a child, like fertility clinics and everything, and the baby's already dead. Like, right. They're going to have a medical abortion, mm-hmm. and the doctor's going to send over this medication. I understand if you can't fill it, but just at least be sensitive with this person. I mean,
So you know firsthand how frequent this type of thing happens. Where
it does.
Yeah.
It's tragic. And we often don't think of these kind of things happening in first world countries with modern medicine. But just because we have the option to treat some of these things doesn't mean they don't still happen.
Right. 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789, talking about the Vice President of the United States, Kamala Harris, being in Wisconsin in Big Bend. We appreciate Stuart J. Waddles from our news team being there and bringing it to us live, marking the 51st anniversary of Roe v. Wade today. Let's go to the phone lines. Tom, listening in on WMDX here in Madison. Tom, thanks for holding. What say you?
Boy, what contrast we're seeing in the last few days. We've got the first black female vice president ever advocating for women's rights, choice, and freedom in one part of the world. And then in the other part of the world, we've got the first orange, twice impeached criminal president who's in court, actually as a defendant, trying to raise the idea that he has absolute immunity to do anything he wants. What a difference.
Yeah, it is, and we haven't gotten to it yet today. We might not get to the full story today, but I think to your point, Tom, and to kind of bring this around how we started the show, with Ron DeSantis withdrawing or suspending his campaign, it's down to Nikki Haley and Trump, and we heard for the last 6 months, wait till it gets down to an alternative and Trump, and Republicans will coalesce around the alternative to Trump. Instead, the exact opposite has happened. And over the weekend, there is a leaked memo from the remaining surviving Koch brother to Republicans saying, look, this is not the guy we want to be supporting going into a general election, in part to what you just said. Because as we saw in Wisconsin last April, when women are given the chance and women, allies of women, given the chance to go to the polls to stand up for women's reproductive rights, you better be on the right side or politically it ain't a good place to be, right?
Yeah, and now the Assembly and the State Senate is working on limiting those options from 20 weeks to 14 weeks now.
Right.
Just at the same time, Kamala Harris is talking about actual choice. It's amazing.
They seem a little political tone deaf, Tom, but that's just my opinion, the Republicans.
Which is hopefully good for November.
Yeah, exactly. Tom, always a pleasure. Thanks for listening in. Thanks for calling in. Have a great day. 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Tom's exactly right. Again, a little tone deaf here. The Republicans, as we mark this 51st anniversary of Roe v. Wade, Wisconsin Republicans introducing legislation to shorten the time that a woman could have access to a legal abortion. Of course, right now in Wisconsin, still the federal Supreme Court ruling stands. There's still some legalities going back and forth. Madison, I know, other places in Wisconsin, it's been interpreted so far in Wisconsin that most abortions can continue for right now, but it's kind of held up in court. But what Tom's right. When Kamala Harris is here talking about women's reproductive freedoms, Republicans are attacking it at the very same time. Look what happened to Republicans in April of 2023. I guess they're just doubling down. 844-967-2789. Let's go quickly to Mike in Spring Green. Mike, thanks for listening in on WRCE out in Spring Green. What say you?
Hey, I just got a quick question to something you said a minute ago. If the president is, you know, if Trump is arguing that he's immune to anything, he can do anything he wants, why doesn't Biden just bar him from running and just because he can?
That's
then it would all be over.
Right? That's a great point. I hadn't thought about that. I like that, Mike.
I thank you for kind of inspiring me to think that way. That's all I got.
Hey, always great to have you on. Well, thank you, Mike. Thanks for listening. Thanks for calling in. Yeah, I mean, that's Biden would never do that. But no, I mean, if you follow the Trumpism and MAGA logic, they're basically saying, well, Biden could just bar Trump from running. Mike, that's a great point from Mike. Let's go quickly to, well, let's say we've got time. Let's go quickly
do
to
a quick one.
Julie, driving near Chippewa Falls. Thanks for about a minute left, Julie. It's all yours. Go ahead.
I just have to say that I think you guys got it all backwards. We're not saying to take, if you have a dead baby inside you, obviously it has to be removed. It's not about the dead baby. It's about a live fetus inside of a woman. They are murdering that fetus. And that's my point.
I appreciate the point, Julie. And I respect your opinion. But do you understand that under what the Supreme Court did, what you just said is illegal? Do you realize that?
To take a dead baby from
Yes, because that's a technical...
That doesn't make any sense.
Thank you. See, we got somewhere. 844-967-2789. More on the other side. Stay tuned to the Todd Allbowles Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Allbowles Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Now, 1:34 across the state of Wisconsin, here in the central time zone. Glad to have you along with us. Mr. Zommer's on the board taking your phone calls. 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Today marks the 51st anniversary of Roe v. Wade. Vice President Kamala Harris in Wisconsin in Big Bend in Waukesha County, marking the occasion, kicking off her tour as she goes around the country, her Fight for Reproductive Freedoms tour. And the last caller there, and look, we're a couple of guys discussing this, right, number one. And really, Dr. Lyerly, who is on Pat Kreitlow's program, Up North News Radio, every morning, 6 to 8, and also is on with Matt Nair on the air, J. Matt Nair. Dr. Lyerly, obviously, she's an OBGYN and is the expert on this. But I just want to button up for that last call, the caller. And she was, you know, she's the last thing she said, that doesn't make any sense, listening up in Chippewa on the tap. She's
That's
absolutely
correct.
Right.
Yeah.
So here... From Human Rights Watch, I want to just give you a little context here. It says, in the months since the Dobbs decision last year, overturning Roe v. Wade, two of the organizations involved in the submissions of the research have interviewed U.S. healthcare practitioners about the impacts of anti-abortion legislation on women's healthcare. The practitioners' responses describe far-reaching implications for women and girls seeking abortion and other reproductive health care, dramatically affecting their health and resulting in serious, sometimes fatal, risks. These interviews and documentations by women's rights group describe difficulty, including accessing abortion in case of a miscarriage. All right? Can be fatal for a woman, if not, you know, in a certain cases. forced travel across state lines during emergencies. Women's health is in the mother's health is at risk, and they have to go across state lines to save the mother. Denial of care and access of ectopic pregnancy. Hospitals delaying care until the woman's health has deteriorated to a level most certainly to fit within a narrow and vague, quote, risk of life to the mother, unquote, exceptions. And we've heard Dr. Lyle talk about this on Up North News, on the air, on Matt and Air on Air. This very, you know, saying that, well, if the risk of the, if the life of the mother is at risk, then you can perform a life-saving, what people would term an abortion.
The problem is that what you just said is the whole definition.
Exactly.
They say it's the life of the mother. And you're like, well, what does that mean? You have to be certain that this person, that this woman and her baby are going to die.
Right.
If you can do anything for them. It's not, they are, there's a 60% chance they die if we let this go another week. That's not good enough.
And meanwhile, you have governors like Greg Abbott in Texas saying that if it doesn't fit his definition of risk of life to the mother, he'll arrest the physician, the healthcare provider.
In other
states. In other states. So doctors don't even want to save the life of the mother sometimes because they're fearful of being arrested, tried, and put in jail.
And then they can't help any other patients.
So this is the problem that we face across this country, is by putting a ban on abortion by the Supreme Court overturning Roe v. Wade, it is putting women's lives at risk. 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Let's go to Ben in Madison listening in on WMDX. Ben, what say you? Ben, you're on the air, sir. What say you?
Okay. I was calling about the Democrats in terms of their not getting on the air to support the Biden administration, because they've done so much to save this country. I mean, Biden, I think, is one of the best presidents we've ever had, along with Obama. And they've done so much. If you look at all the things that they've done to make this country whole and to get us back on the right path, they've been incredible. Though all they get is people complaining and attacking them for doing what they think is the right thing for the country and for the best thing for the country. I would like to see senators, Democratic senators, and representatives, and other top Democrats getting on the air and supporting the Democrats, the Biden administration, like the Republicans do all the time, McConnell and all the rest of these liars do in the Republican Party. I don't understand why we don't have the same kind of level of backing when it comes to our administration. That's all I'm going
to say. Hey, great call, Ben. I appreciate you calling in. Look, I don't belong to any political parties these days. I don't have a direct link to anybody, but hopefully someone who listens to the show does. I think you raise a very valid point. 844-967-2789. Let's go to Jack in Merrimack. Jack, thanks for calling in. What say you?
Well, first of all, I'm going to agree with the gentleman from Madison who just was on your show. We definitely need regularly, all the time, hammering away. Biden has improved our international situation, reconnected with our allies internationally, basically turned a pandemic into a chronic disease issue with recommending vaccinations for COVID. Done the infrastructure thing that Republicans have promised for probably 20 years and never happened. I mean, I could just go on.
Sure.
To get the picture. We've got to get that message out, because otherwise what's going to happen is the only voices we're going to hear are the screaming hate, fear, and anger voices of Trump and the MAGA. And we got to hear more than that, and that's the first thing that has to happen.
Well,
the reason I called.
Yeah, go ahead, quick, Jack. Yep, go ahead.
Okay, the reason I called quickly is this. A thought occurred to me, believe it or not, and I'm wondering, we know that the majority of, especially the so-called conservative justices on the Supreme Court, are on the take. There's no question about that. They're getting millions and millions in free gifts from their buddies. I'm wondering, you know, the problem we have with the dark money that goes into political advertising, I'm willing to bet that if we could connect those two, we could show where very certainly those justices were influenced by people who had that agenda and advertised. The problem is we can't find out the answer to that for sure because you basically can't find out who's financing a lot of this.
Yeah. No, we've covered, you know, a lot of this. Luke Mathers from, has been on all over this for us on his segments every week. And certainly, you know, and to be fair, there's certainly been evidence that some of the liberal justices have received gifts and stuff too, but not to the extent of someone like Clarence Thomas, certainly. So I agree with you. I think there has to be more purity in the Supreme Court for sure. Great call, Jack. I appreciate it. 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Let's go quickly to Sussex. Gary, listening in on Sussex. Appreciate listening, Gary. What say you?
Okay, I hope you let me finish and not interrupt me.
We'll do our best. Sure, go ahead.
All right, I'm a born-again Christian, okay? And I believe what the Bible says, and the Bible talks about in Jeremiah, and this, you don't have to believe the way I do, but this is how I look at it, that the, Jeremiah 1 says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Also, before you were born, I sanctified you. If you read that, and if you're a Christian, that means you are automatically pro-life. You don't have a choice to say. Now, I've touched and felt a baby. My wife gave birth to an 18-week-old baby, which is Jessica, and Julianne, she was born at 21 weeks. Both of them died in my arms. Until you see a preborn baby and hold it in your arms, you'll never, ever understand why I believe the way I do. And I am more passionate about it than most. Okay?
Gary, I want to say thank you for, again, like our previous caller, for being vulnerable and sharing that with our audience. I think, you know, you're right. I've never gone through something like that. I know people who have lost children, and I can't imagine a greater pain than that. So certainly my thoughts and sympathies to you and your wife for having gone through that. Look, I respect you, Gary, for your opinion. I would never say that you don't have the right to your opinion. You know, I would, as someone who's also a Christian, I simply differ, having not lived your experience, so I could never appreciate that. But I think of my two nieces, and God forbid that they would be raped. And so I think of them, and if, God forbid, something like that happened, I would want them to have access, if that was their choice, to legal and safe abortions. If a woman that I love was pregnant and was facing, you know, death, I would want a legal access abortion available to a woman that I love so that she wouldn't die. Right. And I can never understand fully what Gary and his wife went through. And again, I respect that opinion. And I would never attack that opinion because that's what they lived. That's their life experience. And they're entitled to that opinion.
Ultimately, I feel about it is from hearing all of these tragic stories and also from hearing everything that Dr. Lyerly shares on other shows on our network, these cases are too different to make any kind of blanket law that bans abortions except in these cases, right? Because other things come up. You never know exactly what's going to happen. You might have what tragically happened to Gary or Stephen.
I just want to get the phone call here before the break. 844-967-2789. Let's go to Curtis in West Allis. Curtis, thanks for calling in and listening. What say you?
I say, Gary, that's why we need separation between church and state. Church and state do not belong together when you talk about the government, because the government should not be telling anybody, a woman especially, what to do. My niece has a 6-year-old right now, but for 4 years prior to that, she was trying to have a baby. She had seven tubular babies. Seven. So Mr. Gary, my niece would be dead right now if you had your way. So because of that, my niece has a six-year-old boy. But like I said, several times she had a tubular baby. If you know anything about a tubular baby, the baby is born inside the fallopian tubes. Mm-hmm. And if you don't get the baby out of the tube, she will die right away.
And Curtis, I respect your life experience and your story as much as I respect Gary's experience. Now, and again, I don't want to make this personal going back and forth attacking other callers, but I think we just have to take a moment and just like I could never understand or no one else could understand what your family's gone through, you know, we can't necessarily understand what someone else has gone through. So I respect the fact that people can have different opinions. I'm never going to attack anyone for their opinion based on their life experience.
But it's not our choice. It's a woman's choice. The woman has a decision. And not only that, doctors, like you said before, doctors are being threatened to be put into prison.
Right.
How can they take care of patients if you're not going to take care of the problem? The problem is it's between a woman and a doctor, not the government.
As my former boss used to say, I think we're in the heat of agreement. Thank you, Curtis, for the call.
Yes, definitely.
I think we're in the heat of agreement. I think I made it clear this program other times. I am a pro-choice person, but I also think it's really important when we have callers, like one of the callers that calls in that might be different from us, and he wasn't attacking anybody on the other side. He was simply sharing his life experience, and it was a tragic one. And we all go through, as Robin Roberts from ABC News, her mom said when she was still alive, she told Robin Roberts, she said, you know, everybody's got something. And that's still true. And as long as we're respectful to one another, we have to realize that each of us carries a burden. Each of us carries a life experience. And we have to be willing to respect those experiences, even though we're entitled to our own opinions. Back with more on the other side. Don't go anywhere. We're talking about UW System, Green Bay, Marinette closing down. They're falling like flies. This is the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 10 before the hour of 2 o'clock. That is 10 minutes away from Matt Flynn Direct, our friend and colleague, always bringing you news from the front lines, history in the making. Matt reminds us, history being made every minute of every day. He takes us to the latest in history being made. He will be in after the news and weather, 6 minutes past the hour of 2 o'clock. Do not miss it. Matt Flynn Direct coming up next. Want to finish up, but we're going to give more time to this story as the week continues. Obviously, the vice president, big deal. Want to make sure we carried that. But kind of cut into the time I wanted to spend on UW Green Bay Marinette ending in-person classes after the spring semester. This from the great reporting of Kelly Meyerhofer from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. A third UW System campus will join two others already slated to end in-person instruction at the end of this school year. UW Green Bay will suspend face-to-face classes at its Marinette campus after the spring semester concludes, moving to an entirely online campus come fall. The chancellor at Green Bay, Mike Alexander, insists, however, this isn't the end. Quote, we are not leaving, unquote. He wrote in a Friday email to faculty, quote, yes, it will look different, but it will not close. We want our campus in Marinette to be an educational asset for generations to come, unquote. For those, speaking of history, for those that might not remember, about a year and a half ago, Jay Rothman, president of the UW System, said the exact same thing about UW Richland. Today, the doors of the campus are shuttered. This is how it starts, you guys. And the fact that Rothman is so spineless, such a twit, so yellow-bellied, that he was afraid to face the public and face the press himself and forced Chancellor Mike Alexander from Green Bay to go walk the plank for him, tells you all you need to know about Jay Rothman. Wouldn't it have been nice? Remember, this is a public university system. Public. Wouldn't you think the head of a public university system using our public tax dollars would go to Marinette and have a town hall meeting? Would invite community people from Marinette in and listen to them? And if he's going to stick it to them, shouldn't he have the courage to face them in the eye and say that? Back to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel story. Only 14 classes were taught in person at the Marinette campus this fall. The rest were online or streamed. Instead of, quote, waiting for a closure, unquote, which is what the fate delivered to UW-Richland, UW-Platteville-Richland this fall, Alexander said he wants to, quote, proactively rethink our approach. I mean, I'm not sure who's writing these things. If it's the staffers on the 17th floor of Van Nuys making $250,000 in taxpayer money for their salaries, I just don't know. And again, what's the line they use? Enrollment. It says here, UW Green Bay operates two other campuses aside from its main location in Green Bay. Enrollment at the university's Sheboygan and Manitowoc campuses are each above 400 students. Marinette, however, has struggled and had about 200 students enrolled. This is, they keep going back and you know, they attack Richland here for having a low enrollment. Now, look, I can't speak to all of the campuses that are being closed. I can speak authoritatively and directly about Richland. Let me remind you again. The Richland campus had one of the highest enrollments of the two-year campuses as recently as 2015-16. Over 500 students. 500. Then their main recruiter retired. UW-Platteville, which they were a part of by then, and the UW system president, Jay Rothman, refused to allow them to fill that position. So the local private foundation had $4 million cash on hand, more or less, and they offered $600,000 in cash to hire a recruiter for Richland. And both UW-Platteville, Dennis Shields, the chancellor at the time, and then Tammy Avedovich, his replacement, who is now the permanent chancellor at Platteville, and Jay Rothman said no. And despite me asking this question directly, both to them and to Republican state legislators that represent Richland and Platteville, no one will answer my question. Why did UW System reject $600,000 of private money to hire a recruiter for Richland? If you buy a potted plant and you don't water it for a month and a half and it sits in sunshine and you come back, it will be dead unless it's a cactus. If you have a university campus and you don't recruit, it will die on the vine. How dare Jay Rothman and UW System keep coming back to this ridiculous argument of enrollment? Yes, enrollment is going down in a lot of universities. That's a natural, it ebbs and flows. High schools, ebbs and flows, recruitment. But that doesn't mean you just stop talking about the benefits of higher education. There is something going on here. I have said this for over a year. I fully believe now. We're at four. I mean, they're saying that they're not technically closing Marinette. They are. There'll be four campuses. Richland, Fond du Lac, Washington County, and now Marinette. Out of 13. I firmly believe that there will only be six or fewer left by the time they keep cutting. And if you don't think that your two-year campus is online, think again. This is real. And tomorrow night, there is a State of the State address by Governor Tony Evers. Civic Media is covering. I'll be anchoring along with our news director, Terry Bell. And I hope to goodness that the staff, Maggie Gao, the chief of staff for Governor Tony Evers, I hope they are in touch with Wisconsin. And I hope that our education governor is going to speak loudly, longly, and firmly about what's happening with our university system. Because I know I will be, as we continue on pursuing the truth wherever it may lead. Thanks for joining us today. Thanks to Mr. Zomers on the board. Thanks for all the phone calls. Thanks to Stuart Waddles down there bringing us the coverage of Kamala Harris. Stay tuned next. Our friend Matt Flynn is on his way. We'll see you tomorrow. Keep banging your drum.